The Gospel lesson from Luke. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor upon the lowliness of his servant. And surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation unto generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to
God. When I was growing up, I went to a church just south of here that had very elaborate Christmas pageants, complete with stories of an English village full of townspeople getting ready to put on their yearly pageant. My mom and dad would write these stories, and my mom would direct the pageants. Perhaps it was partiality on the part of the director, but one year, I got to play Mary. Now, I know what you're thinking. I don't look like how Mary would have looked, and you would be right. My mom tried to dye my hair black, and that did not go so well. There wasn't anything we could do about my fair skin, but nonetheless, for a brief period of time, at about the same age Mary would have been, I got to imagine what it would have been like to say yes to an outrageous request from God. I had never heard of the Magnificat until then, and I remember having two lines to say in the play. My soul magnifies the Lord, I said, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Over 30 years later, and I still say those two phrases to myself from time to time, two poetic lyrics sung by a 15-year-old girl from Nazareth, a young, very ordinary person whose yes changed the world. Mary seemed like an unlikely candidate for the job, but the angel Gabriel told her she was chosen because she had found favor with God. Now that sounds good, but in her case, I'm not so sure. R. Allen Culpepper explains that Mary being favored by God was a strange blessing. He says it brought with it none of the ideals or goals that so consume our daily striving. Mary, God's favored one, was blessed with having a child out of wedlock who would later be executed as a criminal. Mary's yes is full of risks. She said yes to being pregnant without a husband. Unwed mothers throughout history have experienced dangers, both being treated as criminals and also not having the resources available to them to carry and deliver and safely care for their child. But in the ancient world, being pregnant without a husband could be punishable by being stoned to death. The Bible doesn't tell us about the ridicule Mary endured, but in the very least, we can imagine she experienced a type of social death because of this scandal. She also said yes to childbirth. Giving birth always has risks, even today. But the risks were especially high in Mary's time. It's estimated that between 10 to 15% of women who gave birth in ancient Rome died in the process. This was mostly due to infection, obstruction of labor, and postpartum hemorrhage. Rates were even higher in young girls, because their physical immaturity could have a negative impact on a healthy birth. And rates were even higher in poor families who didn't have the resources for adequate nutrition, sanitary conditions, or afford the help of a midwife. The dangers Mary were facing were actually life-threatening. Now, we don't know much about her actual birth story, but from what we know, she was alone in a barn with Joseph and a bunch of animals. Not exactly a sterilized environment. No epidural, no midwife, although I really like to think that Joseph rose to the occasion and helped her with her delivery. But we can imagine the agony she went through just in giving birth to her child. And not long after her bundle of joy arrived, Mary goes to present Jesus to the Lord in the temple and encounters a righteous man named Simeon, who prophesies to her that a sword will pierce her own soul because of the oppression her son will experience. Today is Joy Sunday. But so far, Mary's story doesn't seem to lend itself to much joy. Why on earth did she say yes to this birth story, to this labor of love, to this risky endeavor? And then I think back to her song. I think back to those two phrases I got to speak when I was 16. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And I wonder, in these words, might we find some of the secrets to joy? When Gabriel visits Mary, her response is, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord." And she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, and these two strong and willing women, they unite in their faith in the goodness of God. Elizabeth proclaims to Mary that because she believed God's words, she will be called blessed among women. Elizabeth's faith in Mary's answer to God gives Mary strength. And the next thing we know, she breaks out into a song that has come to be famously known as the Magnificat, named after the Latin translation of that first phrase. Somehow, Mary knew that she had this amazing foundation of faith in God. Perhaps it was because of her upbringing. Perhaps it was because she understood what it was like to live under the oppression of an empire, and she was hoping for something different from God. But she put two very important concepts together: magnifying the Lord and rejoicing in God. To magnify is to hold in great esteem, to honor and glorify and exalt. And I would add that when we magnify someone, we follow them. We emulate them. We serve them and praise them with our life. To rejoice is to experience great delight. When we rejoice in God, God is the source of our fulfillment, the unwavering foundation of our joy. Magnify the Lord and rejoice in God. Rejoice in God and magnify the Lord. They go hand in hand, like a circle, like labor and birth, effort and fruition, pain and joy. And Mary adds something really important when she says she rejoices in God, my Savior. She recognizes in this one word that her desperate need is met in the deliverance of God. To call God her Savior, she reminds us that no other power in this world leads to joyous fulfillment. Only God is our deliverer. And for all of her praise in God in these first two lines, her prophecy then bursts open to what she anticipates God will do for the poor and the powerless, how the proud will be scattered and the lowly will be lifted up. Somehow she knows her son will be the fulfillment of God's purposes. And Mary is smart enough to know that she doesn't want to miss it. She doesn't choose safety and comfort and security. She chooses to magnify and rejoice. She chooses joy. When I think about Mary's yes, I think about my own birth stories, both literal and metaphorical. I remember when I was pregnant with my first child, several well-meaning women would tell me, "Honey, don't worry. You'll forget about all the pain when you're holding your precious bundle of joy." That, for me, turned out not to be true. While I did feel so lucky and so much joy to hold my healthy son for the first time, my delivery was not easy. It was extremely painful and complicated. I experienced fear and vulnerability and exhaustion, and to this day, I haven't forgotten any of it. But would I have chosen any other path? Of course not. I do remember the pain, but I thank God that I didn't miss out on that joy of having my child. And then I think about being called to seminary at the age of 44 and the immense amount of hard work that took, the juggling of having a full-time job and raising two kids, the difficulty of stretching my abilities and my confidence after many years of not being in school, but also the immense gratitude for how much I grew and learned in the process. I think of many of you who have cared for loved ones dying from illness. But you wouldn't have given up any of those holy moments sitting with them. I think of many of you who have walked alongside family members who struggle with mental illness. But through your tenacity, you have allowed patience and compassion and steadiness to be formed within you. I think about so many of you who boldly advocate for those who need protection and those who quietly feed the hungry every week. So many of you who say yes again and again, even when you hit a roadblock, even when you feel exhausted, you still choose to magnify the Lord. I wonder, as you look back on your life, what have you labored into this world? How have you said yes to joy, and how has it led you to say yes to God? And what birth stories still await us? What gifts do we have that can lead to something new and unique being brought into this world? We know that with labor there will be pain, but let's say yes anyway. There is no shortage of paths we can follow to usher in God's kingdom. And if ever the words of Mary's song needed to come true, now is the time. I do acknowledge that not every birth story ends in happiness. Sometimes our yes to God does not go as planned, and heartbreak can follow. Perhaps we can look to Mary, even in these occasions. After all her heartbreak, a painful birth in a barn, fleeing a tyrant who was out to kill her baby, watching her son be so courageous in his ministry that it led to his murder. After all of this, would she have chosen to sing that song so many years before? I believe that in the end, Mary's joy remained, and she did not regret her yes. Given the choice, knowing what she knew, I think she still would have sang that song. The good news is we have all found favor with God, because we are offered the chance to be part of giving birth to God's kingdom. Mary was an ordinary person, less than ordinary. She was powerless in her society. Young, poor, a woman, unwed, from an insignificant town. And yet through her, God exalts the lowly and fills the hungry and gives us the face of God. We are ordinary people, but we can find extraordinary joy. It's right at our fingertips. We say yes to a trustworthy Savior. We magnify and we rejoice. When my father died, we found his old Bible, and within it we discovered, much to our surprise and delight, that he had dedicated verses to each of his children and to my mother. The verse he picked out for my mother in their marriage together was Psalm 34:3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Those words are now beautifully engraved on my parents' headstone. A life of partnering with ordinary people, magnifying the Lord together, saying yes to God, birthing love into this world, I can think of no greater joy. So may we sing Mary's song. Our souls will magnify the Lord, and our spirits will rejoice in God our Savior. Amen.